could we, like, do you think you could eat it on?
How hungry are we?
We have been without food for like 4 days, let's say.
And did Yvonne die from starvation?
Yeah, she died of starvation.
She's going to be all bones then. I probably still eat her though.
We still have like the dehydrator, so we can turn her into drink.
I'm already talking about this.
We have a gong to ring in for the new year. Gong. All right, no, Yvonne, you're the gong. Yvonne, give us your best gong.
I can gong.
Yeah. Wait, okay, yeah, go ahead.
3, 2, 1. Gong!
Wow! And that means it's 2022 and it's a new year of Offline TV's podcast. Hey, I am joined by Broden today.
Hello.
I'm big change up. Yeah, yeah, in front of the camera. How does it feel?
Weird.
Yeah. And now Yvonne's behind the camera.
I'm here, guys. I'm here. It doesn't seem like I'll be here because I'll talk. I won't talk that much, but I'm here.
She probably won't be talking at all for the rest of the podcast. So, yeah. Welcome. You know, you've seen a lot of these podcasts, every single one.
Yeah.
And now you're here.
Yeah.
What are you going to do different?
We're going to shake it up. We're going to high energy right out the gate.
High energy? Are you a high energy person, Broden?
No, not really.
Yeah, you seem like a very mellow, laid back person.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today?
I asked you what you wanted to talk about earlier.
Oh, yeah. I'm on like an anime binge right now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Are you a big fan of anime?
Yeah, I dabble. Yeah.
You know a lot about animation stuff because when we're doing the anime intro for OTV, like you kind of like knew what you were talking about.
I mean, I was learning as I was going.
So you didn't have any experience beforehand?
I had a little bit. Like when I was in school, I did some like 3D animation, not really any 2D animation though. So like I kind of just hit the ground running.
Who made our anime?
Like what company?
Yeah. Is it like an American or a Japanese one?
We ended up going with an American. I think it was, I'm blanking on it.
Powerhouse,
that's right.
Who made...
They did the Castlevania stuff.
Oh, for Netflix?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Is that a cat?
That's the cat in the...
How did she get in there?
Oh my God, Tony, what are you doing?
God, Yvonne, I despise you.
How?
Hey, Yvonne. Hey, what anime did Powerhouse make?
Powerhouse?
I'm not asking for your on-the-spot knowledge. Use your phone.
Look it up. Do your job.
Oh, that's what you do.
She was trying to rack her brain. It's like, yeah, no, I know this. Let me think about this.
I do know this. Didn't they make Castlevania?
You heard that from Broden, who said it 5 seconds ago.
No, I know they did.
I need you to confirm it.
No, they did. Castlevania, Master of the Universe, Super Monkey Ball, Magnum Ice Cream, Konnichiwa. Offline TV, hey guys, we're here.
Hey, we're on the website.
We're on the thing, yeah, we're on the website.
Oh, they made Castle. So Castlevania seems like their biggest like project.
Yeah.
How much was that, our opener? Did we
Ours?
Ever say? Yeah.
I think it, are we including like music or just animation?
Let's include music.
With music?
Actually, no, let's do it without music.
Things started to blur together, but I would say
animation
was
around like, do you know?
It was like 200.
Oh my.
It was like a 150, I think. 125 to 150.
Yeah.
That's like 150 ball range? 150,000 for 3 minutes?
Yeah. No, not even. Minute and a half.
Minute and a half? What was our return on that? Did we make more than $150,000 back on that YouTube video with 2 million views?
We created a priceless experience.
I think we're in the hole for 140,000 at that point.
Yeah.
And that's just the animation. The song.
Oh, we also didn't run ads.
When you include the song, that's when it gets to like 200.
We paid $50,000 for a song? Shit, I can sing a song.
We had a lot of revisions.
200K, no ads. But the brand value.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it was worth $200,000.
But we got Hina wearing McDonald's merch later.
That is true. If we turn our mascot into a VTuber who is essentially our newest member, I can see the value coming back. But right now, as of today, I'd say we made very little return on that. That was not like if we showed that to our accountant, he would be upset.
Yeah. No.
But we did learn a lot. So I'm on an anime binge, right? I'm learning so much about anime. Because right now, Twitch, streaming, games are all boring. No one's playing, like, people are playing games, but they're playing the same old games. Super boring. Like, we could play games, but no one really wants to watch. It's like, oh, you're doing the same thing you've always been doing. So right now, Meta, watching shows. People are watching MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay because someone watched MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay 3 years ago, didn't get banned. And everyone's like, oh, watch anything with Gordon Ramsay and you'll never get banned. Nobody ever said that, by the way. They just came up with that rule by themselves. This is how streamers think. If you ever wonder, like, what's the thought process behind some of these millionaire streamers? It's like, monkey see, monkey do. It's like, oh, Gordon Ramsay, okay, because this streamer no ban. Me watch Gordon Ramsay, all his content, owned by different licensing companies, by the way. And they just assume that's okay. But it's not okay. Not technically. So I'm thinking, like, bro, if you're doing something not okay, expand your horizons a little bit. So I'm watching, fuck, they might see this actually.
Yeah, I'm curious how much you want to say here.
I need plausible deniability. My friend.
Yeah.
This famous streamer.
Spaghetti Boy.
Spaghetti Boy. This asshole, he's been watching anime on stream for a while now, for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's great anime. And
so when I noticed Spaghetti Boy watching anime, I was curious if Spaghetti Boy had motivations or intentions, because my assumption was that Spaghetti Boy wanted to push boundaries to a point where it couldn't be overlooked.
Yeah.
And a ruling had to be made.
Yes.
Is this true?
That is. From talking with Spaghetti Boy, he confirms that statement.
Okay.
So he started off watching this anime ironically and like to push the boundary. And it's like, it's Naruto. It's really popular, right? Everyone heard about it. And it's the nostalgia factors for the older audience. And people have issues with React streamers. And I was one of those people. Like when the React bros were doing their YouTube channel and they started copyright, like...
They tried to trademark
the word React, which kind of like lost them a lot of goodwill from the community. But even then, their content was like, bro, you're taking other people's YouTube videos and you're putting like individuals in front of it and just filming their reaction. It's quote unquote lazy content. But at the same time, people want to see that, right? Reaction content has done very well. Because people, like when Game of Thrones was happening, I was Googling people's reaction to like the really, really like good scenes. Cause I want to see what other, I don't know what it is about seeing someone's reaction, like validation or like just some sort of entertainment, some sort of connection, like how they see an event that I saw appeals to me a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that's been getting popular on Twitch. So Spaghetti Boy's been watching Naruto and his viewership is doing really well because of it. But essentially, he becomes a vehicle for his audience, because I would say the entertaining part is seeing chat's reaction to Naruto. So you're not just getting the reaction of one streamer. You're getting the reaction of like tens of thousands of people typing in chat.
Yeah.
And that is appealing to watch.
It's like watching... like the Avengers in a stadium and hearing the crowd going, wow.
Yeah. Like when you go to a movie theater and you hear like people cheering for scenes, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that, but it's not strictly legal. So yeah. What's your opinion on this whole, watching content?
Yeah. Well, I think I share the same sentiment as Spaghetti Boy, where I think it's good to push and like make someone do something. Cause right now it's weird. It feels strange that people are like Spaghetti Boy is doing anime, but I've seen other people do like full on movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ones where I'm like they used to, or they, I'm sure they still have like the notices. It's like, you could receive fines of $150,000 for like distributing this. And it's just like, what's your plan here if comes after you or whatever?
Because in the olden days, you got stuff like, what was it, LimeWire? Mm-hmm. And you're distributing movies illegally and doing torrents, which was more popular back then. And it was like a big deal. And you would think, as technology evolves, it's going to be easier. Or like laws are going to be stricter. Mm-hmm. But now it's kind of went backwards where streamers are like, here's a show that's on TV and I'm going to watch it. And it's like, it's an old show. So, do people, like, does Fox Century know about it? That people are watching MasterChef? And Fox is owned by Disney, who's very protective of the IP as well.
That's right, they are.
So, it's like, why hasn't anything happened yet? Or do they know about it? Do they not know about it? Or do they not care? Or legally wise, this, like, is best case scenario for streamers is that what they're doing is actually
fair use or whatever.
Fair use. I think that's a hard sell, but if there was a ruling one day and for some whatever reason a law passes or a verdict is made, it's like, yeah, if you have a streamer watching and they have their chat on stream, it's a different enough experience to be fair use. That just opens so much possibilities.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see that happening. I'm curious if like Fox has heard about it and is just like writing down names. It's like, cause like, wasn't it the music industry that, or some label that like flagged one specific song and everyone that got flagged hit like a ban or something?
I remember Maroon 5 songs like hitting a lot of people at the same time.
So Maroon 5 found out.
Yeah.
Cause Gordon is now aware of Twitch. Have you seen that?
I saw his Twitter and he tweets like a PR manager because he uses his show's hashtag.
True. So it might just be like his team, but Gordon Ramsay's Twitter is aware of like everyone streaming his shows.
Yeah, like I'm sure with all this Twitch stuff, because everyone on Twitch is kind of watching him and he tweeted at Twitch and he updated his bio.
Yeah, that's right.
To have the word Twitch in it. And Twitch updated their bio to have Gordon Ramsay in it. So,
which feels so odd to be like, yeah, this is cool, right?
It's like, yeah, you want to be part of Twitch? We're already watching all your shows. But I'm sure Gordon Ramsay doesn't actually own the rights to like MasterChef.
But I'm sure he gets some sort of percentage or kickback for like every time the show plays.
Yeah. Like, if there was a study that can be done to see, like, if it's a net positive for these companies when streamers watch the content, and it's like, hey, you know, you're actually getting more return from this. But we're also very scared that some company might see this like, hey, that's illegal. I'm going to, like, sue you kind of deal. It's kind of the Wild West, which feels like it shouldn't be the case. Because the Wild West was 10 years ago where you could do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it got shut down. But now people are doing MasterChef and people think, oh, that's all you can do. There are some Russian streamers that do it. But people just say, oh, it's because they're in Russia. They got different sets of rules. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that people just say is like, oh, they can't do it because of this thing. And it's like, I don't.
Well, that's like the old like Pirate Bay stuff of like, I forget where they were based, like Sweden or something?
Yeah, SE.
Somewhere else. And it was like because they were in another country, they were like allowed to keep it up. But then eventually they got shut down.
Yeah.
I think now they're back.
Yeah, there's like a couple websites like that. But it was really hard because they're foreign and they have to go through laws. And it's like American company trying to sue like European stuff. That's why Spaghetti Boy went with anime. It's like they're in Japan. When Spaghetti Boy is streaming anime, all the execs in Japan, they're sleeping. And by the time they wake up, Spaghetti Boy's offline.
Got it.
But people have been kind of pushing it more and more now. And it gave me an idea to bring this all back. How hard would it be to do an anime yourself by hiring people from Japan? Because my logic is, I hear things about Japanese animators. They get paid very little. Like, I heard one company pay $5 per frame of animation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, they have to draw the whole frame out, and it's like, here you go, $5. Here you go, $5. Here you go, $5. It's crazy. And people are overworked in Japan, from what I hear, and they live in very small houses, or they live with their parents, and super stressful, and there's like office courtesy and etiquette, and it does not sound like a healthy work-life balance. Like, you just live your work.
I'm curious, hold on, so $5 per frame, you said?
Yeah.
So let's, the math on that, because there's 24 frames
per second
for like a 24-minute show. So 24 minutes times 60 is the seconds times, they're probably not animating, they're probably doing 12 frames a second.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So times 12 times 5, that's $86,000 for an episode.
That's not that high.
Yeah.
Realistically. Like,
and we spent how much on 90 seconds?
Yeah, because they're getting, like, $5 is, I want to say, on the still the cheaper side. I've heard as low as $2. But, because they're getting their labor straight from the source, right? Like,
yeah. Well, also, because for most studios, they will have their, like, main team doing just like the keyframes,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll send it to Korea to actually do the in-betweens.
Mm-hmm.
So Korea's even doing it for cheaper.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they enjoy the idea of working for like a Western company? Like Japanese talent, but Western work-life balance. It's like, hey, it's 5 o'clock, you guys can go. And then you guys don't have to stay here. Because I had this idea. It's like, why don't I just do an anime? Just an episode, just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And I don't have a time frame. It's like, yeah, I'll pay you $10 a frame. I'll double your pay. Right? And it's like, you work on it 9 to 5, take a lunch break, don't worry about it. And yeah, make an anime like that.
There's a, for Avatar The Last Airbender, Nickelodeon, I think, would do like the main stuff in-house, but then they'd send it to a company in Korea to do the in-betweens.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one animator that caught their eye who would always do, do you remember like the foamy mouth guy in like season one, like Kyoshi Island?
The guy who faints.
Yeah. So the guy who animated that, they were like, whoa, who did that?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. And he did a couple others like that. And eventually they hired him to be like a key artist in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard stories where like they'll like pluck one person, but I don't know, like you would need to create your whole, like a whole infrastructure. Like you'd have to be Nickelodeon to pluck all these people, I think.
Yeah. But it's like, if you tell the Japanese like animation community, it's like, hey guys, want a healthy life, you know, no stress. You don't have to call me sensei or anything or senpai. And you just turn in your animation keyframes like once a week. And you get paid on how many keyframes you turn in. That seems, I assume that seems, that's a good gig.
You should do it. Let's see it. I was about to say the other name, Disguised Toast Anime. Not Spaghetti Boy. Spaghetti Boy would do it. He's doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm. He's watching it.
Yeah. But maybe Spaghetti Boy would watch Disguised Toast Anime.
Oh, on stream.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the same logic as why like people outsource their stuff to China or like third world country and like essentially do sweatshops because the labor there is so cheap.
Yeah. Well, it like ruined the American VFX industry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Life of Pi? I think it was Life of Pi.
The animation movie. It's the movie with the tiger
in
the boat, right?
I believe that was done by a company called Rhythm and Hues.
Mm-hmm.
They like made the movie, released it, went on stage to receive their Oscar for VFX.
Okay.
And I forget if they said it there, but their company died. Like, their company had to shut down. It went bankrupt because it's just so much cheaper to get work done in India.
Right.
And elsewhere. And so they tried to be like, hey, like, we have a problem here. We're going to lose all these artists and stuff in the U.S. because, like, we're not paying what we should be for VFX. We're just going the cheap route. But over there, it's just, like, it's so easy to learn that they're also getting really good. So if it's really good and it's cheap, yeah, we're going to start losing it here.
Yvonne, what are your thoughts about outsourcing American jobs to third world country because it's cheaper? This is the part, Yvonne. You were waiting for it.
You want me to Google that?
No, I don't want you. I want your opinion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? I feel like you could find people.
So you support that?
Oh, God, is that bad?
No, there's no bad, good or bad thing. It's an opinion, Yvonne. You can't have a wrong opinion.
I mean, I just think, like, people sometimes don't get paid as much in other countries. So I think for the talent that they have. So I feel like they should just get paid more, though.
Here's something that I will bring up.
No, is that bad?
To potentially save Yvonne.
What? What happened here? Oh, delete it all. Rewind.
She did mention, so the cost of living sometimes is much cheaper in these other places.
That is true as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a freelancer and you can, like, live in, say, like, Thailand or Malaysia, where the cost of living is cheaper while still earning, like, Western American wages, it's really good.
Then you're, like, rich.
Yeah. You're essentially, like, doubling your money in a way.
Yeah.
Because the food costs half, everything costs half compared to if you were living in North America, right? And now you're essentially giving these, for example, Indians that opportunity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, these American countries still aren't paying them American wages either. They're just paying a little more than the Indian wage. Mm-hmm. And they're happy with it because it's like way more than what they would get working at an India company. So I want to get on that. But,
oh, that's what you meant. I was like, oh, they get paid more in, like, American. Why wouldn't they want to do that?
But I don't want to pay all the way up to the American wage.
Yeah.
Then I just hire Americans.
True.
I want to pay, like, essentially in between their base pay rate and their American pay rate. Mm. But also give them the, you know, the good balance that comes with an American job.
Yeah. I mean, if you're giving them, like, a substantial bonus to, like, what they'd be earning in their country, like, yeah, aren't you doing a good thing?
Yeah, that's the logic, right? I'm trying to think what's the bad thing here. Because the problem with some of these American companies, I think, like, they go too far with, like, the sweatshops and, like, the Nestle and the harvesting of stuff that where it's, like, damaging their environment. But I just want anime. You know, I just want to hire this out of college from Kyoto Japanese, like, otaku who loves anime. It's like, hey, bro, I'll raise your pay by 50%. Your work-life balance is going to be great. Why wouldn't he take it?
But did you hear about how anime ruins people? Sean always said, dude, anime ruined people, man.
How like so? The workers there or people who watch anime?
Like the people who are like super omega invested into anime.
That's not our responsibility.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you talking like the shut-ins or the people making it or what?
I don't know, man. Maybe all of them. Some people are just like anime only, you know? Like, I mean, anything, it's not even anime specifically. Like, anything to an unhealthy extent is like bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like an anime specifically, but yeah, anime can ruin lives.
As with anything.
Yeah.
Like reality shows.
No, Singles Inferno made my life better. Singles Inferno made me put down my donut.
Do you know what Single Inferno is?
I do. I saw the first two episodes with Yvonne.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's so popular because with Squid Game, so Singles Inferno is a Netflix reality show where they get these hot Korean guys and girls on an island and they just film it. It's like, oh, it's kind of like a dating thing. And we have an American version of that called Too Hot to Handle as well. But I think the Korean one is doing a lot better, especially after Squid Game 2. Mm. Where it's like these Korean shows, but it's produced by Netflix America, I think, or Netflix Korea.
Yeah.
And it's just doing way better than their American counterpart. Yvonne's been binging it.
It's so good. You watch one episode, you're hooked. And it's been all over TikTok and everything. Like, everyone's talking about it. They all talk about which one they like and, like, all this stuff. They all talk about which one they hate.
I've been seeing, yeah, some stuff about, like, Korean name, I stan you. Korean name, I hate you.
Yeah,
I'm like, huh, yeah. I don't know these people.
Do you think you guys would ever want to be on one of those shows and then have the coin flip of people either loving you or hating you?
100%. I would love to be on one of those shows.
But what about, because you don't really have control over what you look like on the show.
They're
painting a picture with what you give them.
Yeah, I like to think I would have enough, like, content awareness to know how I'm going to come off on camera. Because I'm going to be a super nice guy, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to know the camera's rolling. So the trick is to behave in a way that seems genuine, even knowing the camera's running.
They're not going to know the real you. They're just going to know the fake you who doesn't yell at people and rage at people.
Well, I'm curious. Oh, wait. Actually, this is normally the time in the show where behind the camera, I reset the cameras.
Nah.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. We laugh, but like,
you said you want to do Broden's job.
That'd be fine. How do I do it?
No, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Well, now you say don't touch it. Okay, well.
You're doing great, Yvonne.
Thanks, man.
What I'm curious about is that if they do Korean reality TV, the same way that we do American reality TV. You said it's by Netflix reality?
Yeah, it's a Netflix show.
Because in the US, they're literally, like, there's a producer, like, on set, like, what's a good example? Okay, the first one that's coming to mind is, like, a show called, I think, Vanderpump Rules. There's producers who are, like, there, like, watching, and I forget if they have earpieces or if they'll be like, hey, Amy, give us something like you're really angry. Like, we want to, it's getting a little boring. And then so they'll be like, oh, okay, she said that to me? What? And so they'll push it and kind of be like, hey, spice it up. So I'm curious if they do that for like Korean reality.
How does it feel, Yvonne? Does it feel more natural? Like people are more human than the common reality?
It does feel more like, it feels less reality TV, dramatic, fake, like, because I know a lot of reality TV is staged,
yeah,
obviously, right?
Yeah.
But this one feels less staged. Doesn't make it not staged, but I think maybe they tell you to, like, I can totally see them saying, like, or prompting them to say more exaggerated things, maybe slightly.
Yeah. I mean, even just watching the first episode, like, they're still doing the leading questions, because, like, in the interviews, like, did you see it?
Yeah.
Like, every person in the first, like, episode is like, I'm hot. Mm-hmm. I'm really cool. Stuff like that. And, like, they're obviously being like, how attractive do you think you are?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Okay. Give us more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think maybe in Asian culture, it's not that common to be, like, extravagant and flamboyant compared to American reality TV show, which is really ratchet with, like,
yeah,
they insert so much drama, so much pausing, so much cuts, where it feels a little disingenuous at times. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost too reality TV sometimes.
The editing is too much in American ones, I feel. They're always like, and like they pan to the face and they zoom in. They do all these extra editing or like sound, dramatic sound effects. Versus this one, it maybe seem more boring for people who are used to that, but it seems more like natural / real, which I enjoy more. So
I also like, I watched like a little bit of Terrace House when that was really popular. And that one reminds me, that's like a Japanese one. That one too, you're like, the drama's different. Cause you also kind of understand that like there's different social norms.
Mm-hmm.
So when something happens that it's like very tame by American standards, but then you're already in it and you're like, oh, he didn't close the door. Like, damn, that was like a slap in the face.
Oh yeah, Myung was saying like, oh yeah, and the American ones are like, damn, you'd be sleeping with each other already like the second night.
Yeah.
Who's sleeping with who? But then this one, it's like, no, it's just like, oh, they asked me for a walk, to go on a walk with them.
Yeah. They held hands.
Have you been on any reality sets?
No. No, I've been on like documentaries, but not reality.
Which documentary?
I forget if it came out or if it was like pivoted, but it was about like rappers and like their jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not in like a high level position here. I forget if it was either shooting it or I was like working as like a grip or something. But we would go and just interview rappers and like they would talk about their jewelry.
Was it famous rappers? Like really famous rappers?
Yeah, I think it had like Migos in it, like DJ Mustard.
You saw DJ Rich Mustard?
Homie. Yeah. I held his
DJ bejeweled, Mustard?
I held his bejeweled mustard.
DJ Mustard? Yeah.
Wait, he has
what?
A mustard.
That's one of his
bottle?
Most famous. Yeah. Yvonne, can you look this up? How much that costs?
Wait, he has
DJ Mustard.
He has a diamond encrusted mustard bottle.
Is it like Heinz mustard?
Yeah. DJ Mustard mustard bottle. Oh my god. Wait, I can't find how much cost.
What were you doing on set?
I think I was a camera assistant.
Okay.
Because my buddy shot it, and he probably brought me on to be an assistant for him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I helped with lighting and setting up the camera.
You gotta find how much it cost.
They probably say in the documentary.
So you guys did you go to their houses? Did you invite them onto?
Okay, I don't know if this is true. There's just a thumbnail with the mustard, and underneath it says $70,000.
I was going to guess that. Perfect.
That's a appropriate amount for a mustard-encrusted jewelry item.
Yeah, basically, it went into the whole, like, because in, like, rapper hip-hop culture, it's almost like a rite of passage to, like, buy your first piece of jewelry.
Mm.
There's a bunch of jewelers who are just known for making custom pieces for rappers. Like, I think Ben Baller is one. I think a guy named Aviani or something.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point where like the rappers even like rap about them in their songs. Like I think it was a ASAP Ferg song where it's like Ben Baller did the chain. It's literally the chorus of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the documentary. I think it's called Bling.
when you were on set, did these rappers have their like squad with them?
Yes. they would roll deep with the squad,
mm-hmm.
but also rappers are notorious for just not showing up. Or being very late.
Right.
And there were a couple instances where just they didn't show up. Like the one was, I'm not going to out who it was, but.
How famous was this person?
Pretty big.
Need you to, I'm going to slide a pen and a paper over to Broden for him to write it. Oh, this guy.
Yep.
Wow.
We went to a hotel. We set up for like an hour or two. And then we waited for, I want to say, 5 hours. And the producer and director were just calling their agent being like, or manager being like, hey, where is he? Is he coming? And they'd be like, yeah, just a little bit longer. But just wouldn't give him a real answer until eventually... I think it was like after like 5 hours, they finally called and were like, hey, so sorry. Yeah. He's been asleep. And he's not going to come, but if you want to get the interview, come to the studio at 4 AM, which is across town, and he'll do it. And so they came to us as the crew and they're like, okay, are you guys cool to drive out at 4 AM? We'll pay you like double, triple overtime, whatever. And we're like, yeah, sorry for you, but yeah, it's extra money for us. So then we went to the studio and interviewed him.
Wow.
But yeah, they're hard. They're slippery.
Yeah, like, should we have a squad? Because when T-Pain came over to our house, he showed up with a squad.
Mm.
Like, I think, I don't know, like, is because, like, do rappers travel with their bodyguards or are they just their friends?
Typically, I think it's one bodyguard, a manager, and then friends.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, they have a weed guy.
Got it. Yeah, it's always very intimidating when you see, like, the squad. It's like, oh, wow, it's like a whole posse.
Yeah.
When T-Pain came over, it's like, it was him and, like, three big dudes. And, like, they don't really say anything. Like, T-Pain will occasionally, like, turn to them and like, hey, I need this. Like, hey, can you message this?
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're just like silent and standing there. Yeah. And we're trying to like talk about video games with T-Pain on the couch. And well, yeah, that's really cool.
They're normally pretty nice though.
Yeah.
Like they look menacing, but then they like a switch. If you get to know them, they're like super chill.
Should we do that at every event we go to? We purposely squat up.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah, yeah.
But who would we squat up with?
No, like we have
we
like
hire
like bodyguards, and then we have extra people, all of our managers and assistants with us, and we just squat up, you know, like you said.
I think it's also like if you do that, it's a surefire way for people to be like, "Whoa, who is that?"
And they're a big deal.
I need to take a photo of them. I don't know who they are, but I need to take a photo.
Yeah, God, why aren't streamers cool like that? Like we show up ourselves, like just alone. When we go to stuff, parties or interviews.
Our squad is like all of us put together.
True. Yeah. True. But we're supposed to, each of us are supposed to have our own squad. Like if we were as famous as we are relative to the field, but we were rappers, we would each have a squad.
We could just make it. We go to the next Arcane premiere. We each bring like five people per person.
But so you're going to bring like your friends. And no offense to your friends. They're all like really...
What are you gonna say?
They're just like normal, like looking Asian people.
Yeah, what do you want me to do about that?
No, you need to roll up with like intimidating, like jack dudes.
Oh, I have that. Back home in Calgary, there's nothing else to do, so all my friends just work out. You want me to bring them?
Ooh, are they intimidating?
Yeah, they look intimidating. They're all jacked.
Okay.
How tall are they?
They're pretty tall. They're okay. Like 6 feet. Okay, sorry, not as tall as you. Like. But we could do that per person. There's like, what, 10 of us? And we have times...
So 30 bodyguards?
That's too much people, Yvonne. That's not going to work.
Okay, well, see, this is why we don't roll up with the squad.
Yeah, we have too much friends. Do you see yourself ever being on like a big movie set, like a Hollywood movie set? Is that a dream?
In what capacity? Because like I've been on them, just not like as an extra.
What would you want to do? Like, there's a new Marvel movie. Ideal position.
I mean, ideally, direct.
Just go fucking to the top, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, but do you want to... Do you... That, is that a goal one day? To direct a Hollywood movie?
I think so. Originally, yes. That was the goal. I think that's still something that I would really want to do. But with how entertainment and, like, the whole landscape has been evolving... It's a weird goal to have because, like, it's now you can either, like, do little indie films or, like, giant tentpoles. There's no middle ground anymore. There used to be a much more accessible, like in-between stuff. Like, the movies where, like, it's two characters, like, who, like, run around the block and, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a good example. Like, there was a movie with, like, Jack Black where, like, they run a video store and, like, make all, like, all the tapes get wiped.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, make them all themselves. And it's, like, kind of charming. And it's, like, it's not a big budget movie. Yeah. But, like, that stuff does not get made anymore unless it's someone's passion project and they, like, scrape to get the funds. So it's hard to say, like, yeah, I'm going to be, like, a blockbuster director because I have to, like, take a huge leap to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about, like... Hollywood and like making short films, and you were telling me the guy who directed the newest Spider-Man got attention because of these shorts he was uploading on his YouTube channel.
That's the guy that did Shazam.
Shazam, yeah. Okay.
Pony Smasher, yeah. That's his YouTube channel.
Like he just went from that to Shazam?
I think he might have had like an indie film in between. But yeah, I think I could be wrong here. We'll have to... Can you check his IMDb? Check his IMDb.
Can you do something for Taylor Swift?
Sure. Yeah, I will.
Who like a music video?
Yeah, do something. So we can get a meet and greet.
Look up Director of Shazam.
Director of...
Is that the one with Zachary Levi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, David F. Sandberg.
I don't know his actual name.
Okay. And you want to find
his filmography.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Shazam on the top? Like the first thing he did.
Lights Out, Annabelle, Creation, Shazam, and then Shazam Fury of the Lights Gods out. In 2023.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I remember now. So he did a short that was like same premise as Lights Out, put it on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and then went to like producers and got funding to make that a feature film.
Mm.
And then after that, did Annabelle and Shazam.
Yeah, because being a director isn't exactly like a corporate ladder.
No.
Right? I feel like you get noticed and a Hollywood like producer just shoots you straight to the top. It's like, yeah. here's a movie. It's going to play in theaters.
It's very, yeah, like you could ask like 10 directors, like, how did you do your thing? And they'll give you different answers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no like stepladder to get there.
Right. Oh, I mean, what's your advantage here? Well, your advantage is, you know, you do have like a presence in the YouTube space. Like if you were to make a YouTube short, I think naturally people will check it out. So can you do a YouTube short? Is that how you would do it? Like, let's say you want to get a Hollywood director job. Would a YouTube short be like, oh, I'm going to make a banger YouTube short?
Yes. If I was to plot it out, I think that's the direction I would take.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do a two-prong attack, all right? do the short,
mm-hmm.
and then before putting on YouTube, you send it to, the more like traditional way is you send it to Sundance, Toronto Film Festival, like all the big film festivals, and say like, hey, what do you think? Will you play this? Because if you play it there, mm-hmm. that's where all the big industry agents and producers are. So if they see it and they're like, we want this, we'll pay for it, like make it a feature, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
that's one track. If that doesn't work, then you put it on YouTube, amass numbers, viewers,
mm-hmm.
and then you go back to them and be like, hey, are you interested now? Because now it has an audience.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, maybe, yeah, make it a feature.
Is that what Hollywood agents or producers do? Go to film festivals and just watch?
Kind of, yeah.
Short films?
The film festivals are normally like a lot of movies get sold and distributed and stuff
mm-hmm.
because of them. Like the Lonely Island guys, they did that movie Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Sundance that year that they did it, and I happened to like sneak my way into their like premiere party.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them and they were like really like stressed the whole time, even though their film had just screened and everyone loved it.
Yeah.
And I found out later the next day, it was because they had three companies all talking to them behind closed doors, being like, we want to pay for it. Like and they were trying to like upsell. And eventually they sold it for like, I think $69 million or something. So some number was 69 in it. But that's why they were like the whole time, like, oh, we got to get this deal done and like get distribution.
At that point, is the movie done already? Like it's filmed, it's edited?
Totally done, yeah.
So they're just buying the rights to distribute it.
Yeah.
And then they keep all the money, essentially.
Yeah. The business is a little weird. Like I couldn't even really say exactly how you make money and that side, but yeah.
What kind of short film would you make? Would you make a horror? Would you make like one of those moral messages, really political commentary kind?
We were talking about this. I feel like the like kind of easiest way, not easiest, but I feel like the more accessible way is do like a horror short.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people want that thrill.
Yeah.
It's harder to craft like a very deep message.
Mm-hmm.
And also like, I'm not sure what I would want to say. So I feel like it's easier to say like, I want to scare you versus like, I want to change this part of your mind.
Yeah. The shorts you hear about are 90% horror anyway. Like, oh, this is a scary YouTube video. And you get the occasional like social commentary like regarding racism or sexism. You don't really see any other shorts, like animation shorts, which is just like, because it's great to look at and it's cute. But off the top of my head, I don't think about like a lot of other kinds of shorts.
It's just the paper plane one.
Paper guy?
The paper guy.
Made by Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah, Disney. Small indie short film company, Disney. <huh? laughs>
Which one was the one? There's one on Netflix that was about school shooting. Did you see it?
Animated?
It was animated. I don't know who that was made by, but like it seemed That one was also good. It was very touching.
I don't remember it.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about. It's like, I Will Always Love You or something like that is what it's called.
About a dad who was looking at pictures of, like, his daughter. And then it slowly tells you that his daughter was killed in the school shooting.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it takes place at a school and you see it happen.
Yeah.
It's more of a, you see the life of someone who, like, lost their kid to a school shooting. But yeah, very social commentary-ish. Yeah.
There was a, you just reminded me, there was a short film when I was in film school that someone made where it was school shooting shot first person perspective POV of the shooter.
I'm sorry, what?
POV of the shooter.
So imagine like video game perspective of the shooter going through. And it was very controversial at the school just for like how like, they're like, are you glorifying violence? Are you? What are you trying to say with this?
And I mean, you got people talking at the school.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, no, that won't fly anywhere, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, POV of the student makes a lot of sense, so you can get the fear and the dread.
Mm-hmm.
POV of the shooter, it's like, oh, it's kind of like video gaming.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I forget if it's screened. I don't know if they let it screen.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be good. There's a recent controversy with a game that just released. And it's a SWAT game, and one of the setting is a school shooting. And you're the SWAT members, like, trying to stop these school shooters. And people, like, it got, the publisher dropped them for that level. And they are adamant about keeping it in. Because their argument is, like, we're not glorifying school shooting. We're, like, trying to, like, in the game, you actively stop it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's very very touchy subject.
I think there's one commercial that I saw, like, handle the subject, I think, perfectly. And it's a commercial that starts out seeming like a back-to-school commercial, where you see the kids and they're,
in the
like,
middle.
Like, I got this backpack for $20. And then it's like some other kid and it's like, I got my pencils for $26. And then later it's like a girl hiding in the bathroom stall. She's like, I got this cell phone for $100, mom. And it's like gets darker and darker and you're like, holy, what? And then they reveal at the end, it's like, no, this isn't back to school supplies. This is like what your kids are feeling when they're getting back to school and hearing about all these shootings.
Yeah, those commercials are awesome, because it starts off just like any regular commercial and it just takes a complete 180 in seriousness. There's one about kitchen safety and it starts off like a chef talking about like how much she loves her job, and then instantly she slips on a puddle of water, the boiling water goes on her face, and it's a close-up of like third degree burns as it's happening, and she's just screaming primally, and it cuts to black. Like, you know, work safety is a serious thing.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, oh, I'm going to remember that commercial. Yeah,
you remember it. It leaves an impression.
Oh, we should do that. Like a commercial like that where you try and make it as cheesy as possible and just like a complete 180.
I mean, okay, so would we... Is offline TV releasing that? Because then do people take it seriously?
Yeah, no, it would have to. Because like if it's... You have to make it seem like it's for a real commercial.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like we could do that for raising awareness or something. Say we wanted to, like, I don't know, people to donate to, like, something with mental health or something. We make a short that leads up to that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think we would really be selling... No, like,
I feel like we would need a cause that's, like, really makes sense for us or people would think it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
This would be something, like, you probably do on your own for, like... The U.S. government is like, hey, we need a PSA on drugs.
Yeah.
And you just like, yeah, I got a great idea. And you started off like a regular commercial advertising some product. And then slowly, you see this family fall apart as the mom is missing because she's passed out on drugs kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, oh, shit, this got really dark really fast.
Let's make it happen, yeah. You want to play the mom?
Yeah. No.
What role would you play, Yvonne?
In like a family that's like.
Do you have Hollywood aspirations?
I'll be like the girl in the back who just like laughs or something. I don't know.
Yvonne undersells her acting.
Broden always skills. Thinks I'm good at acting. I do not think I'm good at acting. But like, it's like, I don't know what I'd be. I would like to be given a role.
Yvonne, you're always watching those Wong Fu shorts on YouTube. Now you can be in one. Starring, like, directed by Broden.
Okay, tell me what to do. I can't. I'm just like a lost chicken.
Do you think you can act in front of your friends? Like, Broden's got a camera to you.
What
the? Yvonne, I need you to be emotional for this scene. And you have to, like, actually, like, be serious and try and look emotional.
As long as I don't look at you guys, I might be able to do it. Am I allowed to put, eye drops in my eyes?
Yeah, we got ways to fake it.
Okay.
Rub
okay,
some
then
under.
I can really get into it.
Yeah, I would need my friends to leave the room. It's like, I don't want you seeing me be cringe trying to act.
Yeah, preferably no one that we know is watching, but...
Yeah, no one who doesn't have to be there, everyone leave. But, like, production people are fine.
Actually, okay, wait, you mentioned something that's interesting, because I feel the same way as you, where if I'm in front of a room of like 50 strangers, mm-hmm. I'll act like I can push and do become a weird character. Like, oh, yeah. But if my friends are in the room, then I'm like,
yeah,
I'm shy.
It's like you're hanging out with your friends, but your mom's in the kitchen. It's like, I can't be myself.
Yeah.
I can't be my friend self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you just know your friend is like in the back of their head, like laughing at you.
Yeah.
But I would love to be on set of like a Hollywood movie just to see how awkward it is in between the shots, like the before and after. It's like getting ready for the shot and action, and then the actor's like on,
yeah,
and after it's like, oh no, we gotta do it again, and you see the very unglamorous part of what being an acting or actor is.
When it's like a serious scene, like let's say this is like the climax of the movie and someone really has to break down or something, normally the actor, I mean, everyone has different kind of techniques, mm-hmm. but normally that actor has like their headphones in, they're listening to the saddest music possible, and they're kind of blocking everything out, like nothing else exists. The day before when we're doing the scene with the dog and everyone's happy, uh-huh. they were great and they're friendly, like, hey, nice to meet you. But that day they come to set, they don't talk to anyone. They're just in, they're like trying to like psych themselves up. And then even like between takes, like they just sob their eyes out. Okay, that was take one. All right, clean them up. Okay, that was great. A little softer. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think they're used to that, though. I helped my friend do, like, a self-tape the other day. He's an actor. So mm-hmm. I was, like, my first time reading through a script with him. And he was, like, getting into character himself. And then he'd be like, oh, crap, like, I messed up. And then, like, every time we redid it, he would, like, easily be able to be drawn to it again without being, like, awkward that I was the other person reading to him. Yeah. They're just, like, used to it. They're, like... take that, I guess, embarrassment out already. They're like, I'm too, like, they're very committed to it.
Yeah, because every actors do it. Like, you have to go from normal to, like, a completely different character. And to us, it seems really, like, if our friend did it, we'd be, like, laughing. Like, he's yeah. trying to act kind of deal. Would you ever consider acting? Because you've seen actors, right?
So what's funny is I kind of like entered film production because I was considering acting. Like originally when I was young, I wanted to be an animator. And I was like drawing all the time and like learning all this like stuff on the computer. And then, after doing like a couple just like little animations for myself, I realized how time consuming it was and that like you really need like a full on team mm-hmm. to pull something off. So then around that time period, I hated watching Disney Channel. I liked cartoons, but I hated watching like live action kids. Mm-hmm. And I had this realization of like, oh, it's because when I see them, it's like, I could do that. Like, that's easy. So then I had a period where I like did acting classes as a kid and like went to auditions and stuff. And there was one part where like I got very close to getting it. But didn't. And after doing a couple auditions and like realizing like, oh, it's kind of hard to like, they're normally looking for very specific things. Mm-hmm. I eventually was like, well, how can I like practice doing this? And then my dad had a video camera. I was like, oh, I can just film myself and my friends and like do it myself. Mm-hmm. So I did some of that, like, it's really popular now where people do like clones, where like, honestly, like TikTok skits, where like they walk in and they're playing every character. Mm-hmm. I would do stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this on YouTube?
No, it's not.
Don't worry, I'll look it up.
Is it anywhere?
I think they're on like a hard drive that might be corrupt by now.
Okay. I can't look that up.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like, from there, I really liked being behind the camera and realized like the creativity you could have there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I still have that like little, I don't think I would really actively pursue acting, but like, it's fun to me.
I think it would be more like Taika Waititi, the director.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's pretty good at like putting himself in his movies in a small role. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's because like he's part of the creative process and he sees actor and he kind of knows what plays well on camera. Yeah. He kind of just jump in there. And even if his acting isn't like amazing, he knows enough to be able to like perform.
Another good example is Jon Favreau.
Yes.
Who suddenly becomes like a main character in like Spider-Man movies. Like, puts himself in as a cameo in Iron Man, and now
he gets to be, like, part of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. He directed, was it the first Iron Man?
First Iron Man, yeah.
And he put himself in as, like, the butler, and he actually outlived. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's in all the Spider-Man, so. Yeah, I think that's a good way to, like, be in the movie as a director.
Yeah.
A small bit role. That's what I would do. Because, like, I don't really want to act. I also like the creative process or, like, putting together everything. And, like, hey, I'm funding this whole thing. Like, I can put myself, like, in a small, like, bartender role. And that's the dream. Shang-Chi update. I'm not sure if we should keep doing a Shang-Chi update because there's not going to be any update. But everyone's going to ask for an update. So I need to put a stop to it.
You killing the Shang-Chi update right here?
It won't be every week. And also my logic is, if you set your dream to be an extra in Shang-Chi, that you're going to take a long time to get there. But if you set your dream to be like, I'm going to make a Hollywood movie.
Oh, okay.
And that's what you're shooting for, you're going to go past the extra like requirement super fast. You know, let's say it takes 10 years to reach a goal. If I set it to be an extra in Shang-Chi, it's going to take me 10 years. I'm going to reach it one day, like in 10 years. But if I set my goal 10 years from now, I'm going to be a Hollywood director or a Hollywood producer. Then by the 2-year mark, I should have enough influence to get an extra role in Shang-Chi too.
Is that how the math works?
We're talking. Now we're talking.
Look at it like this. When you were in high school, who were you competing against? The smart kid in class, right? Mm-hmm. What's that kid doing right now? Fucking working an accounting job? Where are you, Yvonne? You're a famous streamer in Los Angeles.
I taped your nipples last year.
You're a famous streamer in Los Angeles. Because your goal wasn't to be, I'm going to be smarter than Gary from accounting.
No, I didn't have goals.
But it's like, when you set your goals to be defined by your competition, it's like the car would never be invented if people kept thinking about, how do I make this horse go faster? Mm-hmm. Right? Everyone traveled by horse. It's like, I'm going to feed my horse steroids then. That's going to be a faster horse. But when you think like that, it's like, how do I make a better horse or a faster horse or a stronger horse? When you think like that, you won't get that far ahead. It's the guy who came along like, yo, horses kind of suck, man. I want to make something faster than horses, like a completely new thing. And everyone was probably like, what are you talking about? Horses, that's how fast you can travel. All right, just think about how to make a faster horse. But the guy came along, was like, I'm going to put 4 wheels on this metal frame and put an engine in it. Yeah. And now everyone drives cars.
This is why we're out, everyone's out here playing Valorant and League of Legends, and Spaghetti Boy is out here streaming.
Exactly. People are saying like, oh, it's lazy content. It's like, bro, more people are entertained. People are watching this. Yes, it is lazy content because you're just watching something. But why would I play a game I have no enjoyment in playing to conform to the rules that everyone follows? It's like, you can't get ahead thinking like that. So Spaghetti Boy is like, fuck it, I'm watching anime. Probably not legal, but I'm gonna get more viewers than you because I'm willing to push that, because I'm doing something that no one else is doing. And guess what? Now people are now watching anime on the platform. Eventually it's gonna get saturated, people might get in trouble, but then the next thing is gonna come along. So you have to think smarter. Don't be defined by what other people are doing, because you're competing on the same field as them, and that's not smart. You wanna cheat to get ahead, essentially.
I'm not a cheater. I don't think that far ahead.
That's why you're weak.
Exactly. I think about the horse. How do you make this horse go? That's me.
Don't think about the horse. Don't be the guy who tries to come up with a faster horse.
Wait, to tie in the beginning with where we're at now, let's say you are a Hollywood producer and you make that movie. Mm. How would you feel if Spaghetti Boy and all these streamers were watching it without you getting a cut? Because there's a bunch of eyeballs on it, so it'll make your movie potentially, like it'll market your movie, but you're also losing money.
Am I making the majority of my income from the movie?
How do you mean?
So if I was to make, for example, a show, like a kid's show, and I'm selling like merchandise, and it's like accounting for 60-70% of my profits.
Okay.
It's like, hey, you want to show my kid's show to like 50,000 people? Yeah, go ahead, because I'm making like 10% of my income from that.
Okay, so the answer is sell merchandise.
Yeah, like with a movie, like a brand new movie where the majority of my sales is people having to pay to watch it, no, I'd sue them like instantly. And it has happened with UFC and Olympics, because those two kind of contents, like it's live, it's only relevant in the moment.
Yeah.
So if you're streaming that, then you're definitely getting a lawsuit. Movies, they get their sales from DVD, right? And digital, and buying for Amazon or Netflix. But 20-year-old show, see, that's the thing, right? It's like, well, it's not worth it for them to go after Spaghetti Boy. There's some Twitch channels right now that are restreaming my stream as this like social protest, like, ha, I'm doing to you what you're doing to this billion-dollar company. Take that kind of deal. And if you DMCA me, you're a hypocrite. I'm like, bro, okay. Calm down, man. But it's like, yeah, is it worth it for them to do it? Are they getting a benefit from it? I can't measure that. So, good question. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the viewer questions of the week.
Ooh, okay.
We pick these questions up. Yvonne, where are you going?
I need to pee.
Broden never gets up from his seat.
I hold it in.
I like how you do it without even asking as well. You know what? Yvonne gives bad advice. We don't need her for this part. We picked these questions from our Reddit thread on our subreddit, r/offlineTV, if you want to submit your questions. First question from Weird Zombie, whose question is about zombies. If a zombie apocalypse started right now and you were trapped with the rest of offline TV, who do you think would be the first to go and the last to survive? If we're trapped in this house. Okay, let's say it's this house. This is a pretty nice house, but all the walls are glass.
Let's say like we just finished a shoot, so everyone from OTV is here.
Okay. Who would be the first to die? God, I don't want to think about that because we turn on each other at some point. Like, okay, let's assume we don't kill each other out of starvation. Yeah. Let's assume like zombies are the biggest threat.
I'm kind of already jumping to, so first to die, I'm not sure. I was going to say last to survive, Michael. But I feel like at some point, Michael would sacrifice himself.
He is an honorable dude. Scarra would also sacrifice himself as well. Mm-hmm. Not that everyone in the rest of the house won't sacrifice themselves, but I won't. Because I've had this scenario play in my head. It's like, realistically, would I trade my life for anyone in the house?
You've thought about this before?
Yes. And the answer was no. I wouldn't trade lives. I would risk my life. Like, hey, 20% chance you die, but 80% chance you save someone. It's like, yeah, I'll take that risk.
Yeah.
But if it's like, you die so Yvonne can live, I'd be like, no.
Mm. What?
No, because she'd be dead. She can't live to hate me.
She might be the first to go,
yeah.
What is this?
Zombie apocalypse. Who dies first? Who dies last in OTV?
Who did you think to be the first to go? Who did you say?
We said you.
I don't, like, because I can't.
Lily would for sure be the first to go before.
But Michael wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, is nobody going to help me?
I mean, that's true. Like, we won't let Yvonne die. Yeah. Like, in this scenario, something terrible happened.
But also, like, Michael would be watching Lily like a hawk. Like, she would not leave his sight.
What kind of scenario would cause someone to die in a zombie apocalypse? Beyond, like, fighting.
Human. Someone would open the door, Somi would run out, Yvonne would be, oh, I need Somi, and run after her.
Would you run after Somi? Assuming we're not surrounded by zombies, but, like, the zombies lurking outside, and Somi got out.
I think I would scope the area first, and then if there was a zombie, then I couldn't. But if there wasn't, I would risk it.
Fuck. Like, if Navi got out, I would, like, probably risk a little bit because, like, it's, like, there's too much attachment to that dog.
Yeah.
With a cat, though.
Hey!
No offense, but, like, cat deaths are less sad than dog deaths in movies.
Whoa.
No offense to any cat owners or dog owners.
I'm offended.
But when a cat dies in a movie, it's like, oh, that's really sad. When a dog dies in a movie, I'm like, oh, God, I'm crying.
I mean, yeah, there's that website that's like, does the dog die? That's literally people look up like, can I keep watching this or am I going to bawl?
Yeah. I don't like this conversation.
Have you owned a dog, Yvonne?
No. Why?
Spoken like a true cat owner. Hey. I mean, dogs are
like
just
cats.
Easier to form a bond with.
Yeah.
Like, cat is just like, hey. Every 10 days, hey, what's up? And they go do their own thing.
I can tell. Spoken like a true dog owner instead of a cat.
Yvonne, we can take a poll. Which one do humans feel more connected to, dog or cats? And it's going to be like 90% to 10%.
Okay. Well, does that matter to each person? Huh? Does that matter to each person? Each person is different. You!
Come on, you're not making words.
Next person! Next thing! What's the next thing? And if there was a zombie apocalypse, I would die first because we would all be running away and then someone's gonna push me at the end so that I get absorbed by the zombies so that they have their focus on me so that everyone else can live.
Do you think any of us will do that?
Let's paint it like this, because I don't really see that happening. Let's say we're all in the house and like we're pretty secure, like there's no way they can get in. Mm-hmm. We're bunkered down, but we're running out of supplies. In that scenario, how, like, someone's gonna have to go get supplies.
Yeah.
Who do you think is gonna die first and die last?
I don't think we'll ever turn on each other. The biggest danger is like supply runs.
I just saw that on The Walking Dead, so I want to say that scenario.
Who would do supply? Like, I don't think any of the girls would do supply runs. It's not a gender thing. I think the guys in the house just
would take the initiative.
Yeah, would be like,
I think Sydney would be down.
Yeah. I think she'd be like, hey, I want to do my part kind of deal.
Yeah.
And that's why she'll die first.
I don't know. Did you see her juke Jay?
True.
Oh, yeah, true. She did juke him.
Yeah.
That was pretty epic.
Dying, I can see myself dying on a supply run because I definitely have enough honor to volunteer to go, but not enough athleticism
to make it back.
Like, I'm gonna be out the door and like, fuck, why did I say this? But I'm too, it's too awkward to go back and admit it. So, yeah. I don't see a world where we try to kill each other. I think the zombies get us first before it ever reaches that point. Because I don't think we would resort to cannibalism that fast.
Yeah.
And if supplies are running out, instead of kicking people out, we would just like, hey, we got to go scavenge together. We all got to leave the house.
Could you do it? Like, let's say Yvonne died already. Could we, like, do you think you could eat Yvonne?
How hungry are we?
We have been without food for like 4 days, let's say.
And did Yvonne die from starvation? Or like...
Yeah, she died of starvation.
She's going to be all bones then. I'd probably still eat her though. Realistically, I don't want you guys to eat me.
We still have like the dehydrator, so we can turn her into drink.
Guys, why are we talking about this? Because, okay, I bet if any one of us dies, we would just think like they would want us to live.
Yeah.
Like, they would be okay with us eating them, because they're already dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be... I mean, unless you guys... One of you guys caused my death.
Yeah, but I just think logically we would all think that about the person who died.
So would you... Can you put me on the record right now and say you'd prefer we eat you rather than, like, bury you?
Okay, if there's zero chance of me living, like, fine. If I was already dead, fine, eat me. Like, what am I going to do with my body, huh? Yeah.
All right, we have permission.
Yeah.
You guys aren't actually going to eat me.
If we're in a zombie apocalypse and we're starving for 4 days and you naturally pass away and you're the only food source, we will eat you.
Okay, yeah. And I said that's fine, but like that's not going to happen.
Does this carry into, like, let's say we're all on like a ski trip or snow trip and like we're out in the wilderness. Like, let's say we go to like Antarctica for a shoot.
No.
And you, and you die. Like, you're already
dead. Why am I always the one dying? Can it be someone else? Like, why is it always
you catch hypothermia and you die or something. Do we have grounds to eat you there? Or do you want us to bury
you? If I'm dead, then sure. But if I'm alive still and then you guys kill me to eat me, then fuck you guys.
Well, she'll be dead. She's not gonna...
Yeah. Just want to respect your wishes. Yeah.
You're not gonna get confirmation from me right now.
Yvonne, no matter what, we're gonna eat you. Okay? No.
Guys, why are we talking about this?
Who would be last to survive?
I would not. I can't think of who would be last, but I wouldn't be the last. We'd find a stranger.
What, to eat? What are you saying?
Yeah, we would. We'd find someone else who died.
Do you think we would ever turn like into those bandit groups where we lure people in and kill them?
I hope so.
I've heard of this. I don't know if this is a real story. There's something that were based off of a real story, but there's some story or movie or show about like these four friends who went up to the mountains or something, and then like one of them, and then like they had to like kill / eat one of their friends in order to live, and the three of them like kept it like a secret, or like would have to live with that for the rest of their lives. Not like epic, huh? I will never go on a ski trip or a mountain trip with you guys.
But we're going on a ski trip this year.
No, yeah. I'm not going. I'm staying in the cabin.
That's not safe. You heard of cabin fever?
No.
If you get snowed in, there's a thing called cabin fever where people who are stuck inside together like start going crazy and eventually kill each other.
Okay, I'm not going on this trip.
Last to survive. I don't know. I feel like it's hard to say. Because we would all be together, and if we move houses, we're going to run there, and inevitably someone's going to get tripped or bit, but it'd be really random.
I think I've actually had this thought before, where in a zombie apocalypse, if the outlook is looking really grim, like, just voluntarily give myself to the zombies early, because then you're on the winning team.
But you're not going to have consciousness. Like, in the shows and the movies, they kill themselves before they turn into a zombie, if they had the choice.
I would let myself turn.
On the off chance, I wonder...
Like, have you seen Warm Bodies?
Yeah, where the zombies get brought back to life.
Well, that, but also, like, while they're zombies, they kind of have cognition, mm-hmm. but they're just like, yeah, we're zombies now. Like, we're cool. Yeah.
So to answer your question, we don't know who's going to be last to survive, but Yvonne is definitely the first to die. Next question, sensitive 484 ask, how do you guys think of new ideas for offline TV videos? And how do you go about making them? Well, perfect, because we have Broden here, and he does all the thinking and the making. Take it away.
New ideas, huh? I feel like I was just talking about this. When I first joined with you guys, my way of coming with ideas was, what is something I can make you guys do that your fans have never seen before? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what's a situation that, like, they'll never get on stream, but they will get, like, in X video? And so that's how I came up with the original ones, and that's why some of the original ones were, like, really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the egg one with Sykuno.
Oh, God. That one was just, like, I can't believe we legit just listened to everything you told us to do.
Like, that was just, like, I wanted to do something with eggs.
Yeah.
And then that video spawned. More recently, I just try to come up with, like, fun things for you guys that'll show off your personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the secret sauce. It's like, because that's why people are watching. It's like, I want to see Toast when he's reacting to X, or I want to see Toast when he's, like, doing this, mm-hmm. whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I think the best ones are the ones with a little element of competition. Our charades one was really popular because, I mean, when I was doing it, all I cared about was, like, I want to fucking win. And, like, everyone was so into it and, like, screaming at the top of their lungs. So, yeah, anything that involves...
Well, did the food element play into that?
Not a little bit. Like, it's nice to have a reward that's tangible.
Yeah, I think that was it. The reward was nice.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of times we do, like, intangible rewards and doesn't feel as good.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you win $5,000. Like, oh, yeah, I don't see it anywhere. It's like, do I get a check in the mail? But when it's like, here's like a delicious piece of food item, like that you can see, you can eat it. And
right
like,
now. Yeah.
And the other team is like punished in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And the game itself was pretty fun, like competition wise. So,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, for example, the Squid Game one. I think realistically, there was no way I would ever see that money, even if I won. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to be like, I need to fucking win this. Because, like, I know if I won it, I can be like, thanks for the money, guys. See you guys next week.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. And, like, it was the same when Hassan and Poki won. It's like, you can't take the money. So you're mostly just playing for fun. But maybe people can tell, like, oh, he's playing... not as if his life was on the line, or like as if there was $40,000 on the line. So yeah.
Other times, like the courtroom video, if I'm being completely honest, there's two factors that made that one come to light. One was I was scouting locations for a commercial that I was going to shoot, and I found that set. I was like, okay, writing this down.
That courtroom set.
Yeah, but the other thing was, at that time in my life, I was heavily considering suing someone.
Uh-huh.
And so just court and like legal stuff was on my brain. And I was like, all right, I'll release it into a video. Like now it'll be an idea.
Yeah. I never knew that one.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Broden puts a lot of thought into these videos. So thank you very much, sir. And that's going to be the viewer questions of the week. Remember, you can leave your question in the Reddit thread today and maybe we'll pick it. Maybe we won't, but, at least you have a chance. Thank you, Broden, for coming on and talking with me. It's nice to talk to like a behind-the-scenes guy as opposed to the usual, you know, streamer talking about how hard their lives are. It's like, oh, I have to stream video games for a living.
Is it a hardy one?
Just know I'm making a very disgusted face right now.
Why do you think I'm talking about you? You kind of projected.
I'm not thinking you're talking about me. I think you did talk about streaming. What are you talking about?
Yvonne, go ahead and do the weekly outro that Broden always does.
Yep.
What's the weekly outro?
You know this because you watch our podcast.
I do, but I don't remember no weekly outro. He does a weekly outro?
He does the outro.
Do you not pay attention? Do you just skip the end?
You don't skip the credits.
This isn't the credit. This is the outro.
Okay, what's that? Why don't you do the outro?
I'm not going to help you, no.
Why? Okay.
Take it away, Yvonne. Go.
And thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for
louder, watching. Louder, please.
Do you do this?
Yes. He does do this. You would know if you watched our podcast.
I do watch it. I do.
Okay, go.
Hey, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching the episode 12 of the Offline TV podcast today. Thank you again for Broden for coming on. Hey, thanks to me for being here, too. And Toast for always hosting. And, yep. Woo! Another one for the books. Happy New Year, guys.
You forgot to mention that this set will look different for the next one.
Okay, well, the set will also look different for our next video because we are moving. So that's going to be really exciting. No, actually, I hate moving and everything, and I'm really dreading tomorrow. But, yeah, anyways, that's pretty much why you guys are going to see kind of a different environment. But, yeah, anything else?
And then the outro jingle.
Yep.
What's the outro jingle?
It's where you, like, do a little song, a little humming.
You hum?
As the credits roll.
You do not hum.
Do the outro jingle.
Outro.
Do the outro jingle.
I don't know what the outro jingle is. Can you tell me?
Okay, like, you can make up your own. We'll make an exception.
Is that a copyright song?
That's Silhouette from Naruto.
Yeah,
you're gonna get
that.
A suit.
Oh.
They're gonna hear
but
this
I sang it.
And
it's not,
sue
it doesn't
you.
Sound close.
Just give us something original.
Okay, yeah, an original jingle.
Baby Shark.
They're more strict than the other people. No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all so much for watching. I'll see you guys next week.